All right. We're going to, like I said, just quick. We don't have to turn all the house lights on or anything. We're going to go with this. So we've been in a series in John, and Tim did a great job. I just want to honor him. Thank you. Just on John 3, and he's talking about John the Baptist, and his life was always to point to Jesus. And that's what I love about Tim. He carries that message, and that's who we are as a people. We're people that continually deny ourselves and so that we can point to Jesus. He becomes greater. He's always got to become greater. I love that he must increase, I must decrease. That is still for today. And so in John 4, I'm just going to summarize. Many of you guys read this passage, but I'm just going to summarize because I believe this is a key word for this time right now. And it's so cool how God, the timing of that, of what we just experienced this last week and where God's taken us now. So in John 4, there's this encounter with this broken woman, the Samaritan woman. And she had all these, she had five husbands. And Jesus came to her and spent some time with her. Even in the midst of her brokenness, he was there. And he began to uncover some things. And he uncovered a lot of like scary things, which a lot of us would not want uncovered, especially in front of a very important man like Jesus. But all of a sudden, all these things start coming out. And what I love about it is Jesus is, even though all this stuff is coming out, there's love going in. Right? That's what's happening. Isn't that beautiful? Over the years, the more that gets uncovered, I feel like in a lot of ways, the more I'm just loved, because you never know how much you're loved until everything's fully exposed and you're still loved. See, with that passage, there was an uncovering. That which we uncover gets covered, but the things that we cover eventually get what? Uncovered. And that's the way the kingdom, see, when we come in with humility and we just say, hey, I'm putting everything on the table. When we do that, it's scary, but it's counterintuitive to the world, right? The world says you uncover everything, you might lose your job. You uncover everything, you might lose this friendship. But with Jesus, you uncover everything, you get everything, right? Because when you expose it, he begins to work. When you cover it, he can't work. So when we uncover everything, when we're uncovering our sin, we're just saying, look, everything is there. And this is not like a confessed fest, if you will. It's not like just trying to get everything out so that we can get moving here. It's just over time, over the years, God will unpack our lives. And when they get unpacked, it's not to be scared or fearful. It's like, good. It's being unpacked for the purpose of him healing it so we can move. That's what he's doing. Isn't that great? That we know from that story, and even John 8, just the story of the woman caught in adultery, there was an uncovering, but yet there was a covering. And that's how the kingdom works. To the measure of your vulnerability, to the measure of your freedom. The more we expose, say, God, would you just come in? I'm willing to let everything, I'm laying everything bare. Because he knows everything. He knows it. And in fact, it's silly to even say that which we cover. It's just how it works legally in the kingdom. When we say, God, here it is. He says, okay, here's my love. Here's my healing. Here's my freedom. And here's your purpose. All right, here it gets better. Now she leaves and goes to her community. And Jesus goes with her for a time, and they begin to become what? Family. So she takes this encounter that she has with the living God. She goes back to her home place, and now a church is being birthed. And now she's not only that, she's become a family, but now they're reaching the cities and eventually now the nations of the earth. That's how it always works. College students began to come in, they encountered God, they became family, and now they know their purpose to go reach cities and nations. That's all I got. I mean, it's just beautiful how he works. And it's just absolutely amazing as I look over my life with the 18 years of knowing Jesus, how he's uncovered dark areas and places where he uncovers those places, but he doesn't reject me. He pulls me in. As much as I want it, he pulls me in and he begins to go to work on the heart, put me in a family that is accepting and loving and caring, and then boom, out the door with reaching people who have never heard. And let me tell you, Japan needs you. Japan needs you. They that God puts in you. Live these next 2 months or 3 months or whatever that is, right? March, April, May, June. Okay, whatever. March, April, May. All right. I have a problem counting. But so God, do not waste the spring to get to summer. Because what he's got to put in the spring, he's going to deliver in the summer. Sow it in. Begin to sow it in now. That which you sow, you'll reap. So live this spring. I'm telling you, there is, and not like I'm not just prophesying this like as I want it to happen, but Matthew 7 says it like this, that when the storms come, it's not if, it's when, right? It is when the storms are coming. And I don't want people in this place to be putting their life on sand. So now it's time to get back, put those roots deep into the ground. Robin came up to me. She said, look, I don't know if we're very free with prophetic words and all that. And she said, I don't know what we're going to do with this. But she said, Dad, bubbling up, the things that are happening, you know, here, we've got to begin to Psalm 1 it. You know, we got to put those roots down deep so that there's fruit. And I agree. Now is the time to do that. Tomorrow morning, you need to make that commitment to say, God, begin to put those roots deep in the ground, all right? And for some of you guys, young adults and families, you're already doing that. So just wait for the fruit to come. And so as you get into the summer, you'll note it. I wouldn't be surprised if spring's just, you know, come on, just, you know, just being faithful with little, trekking through. And in that way, I'm not trying to, but with joy of the Lord is our strength. But when we get to the summer and we're just all of a sudden, boom, sharing the gospel with some Japanese guy or in Sweden with refugees who've never heard the gospel, it's like, boom, it hits them. And you're like, where did that come from? And God will whisper, way to go being faithful. Way to go sowing. That's what we need. We need us, again, by faith, saying, this matters. It's going to be a wild, wild summer, and there's only more to come. God's already been speaking to me in 2020 summer, and lots of other things happening. I mean, it's going to be good. This thing's going to keep rolling, but we got to remain focused. You know, sometimes I'm like, oh yeah, you know, I got to live tomorrow. My wife reminds me of that often. This goes back and forth. I'm like, honey, you know, we're going to do this in 2020 and send people out this way. She's like, can we just do this summer first? I mean, this summer. I'm barely in the summer. I'm actually in the spring. I'm in March right now. You're already in 2020, June. It's just the way I'm wired. So I need to pull back. But I have that because I'm like, look, if that's the case, we're going to send all these laborers out, laborers of love. Man, we got to pull back and we got to just do the simple things, putting the seeds in the ground. Because that's, come on. I mean, where's Jack at? We said, what? You're not here? Jack, I mean, I mentioned Jack. Jack's, man, he's going to love this message. He's in this thing twice. So, great guy. But, you know, he has dreams to use his engineering degree to want to go and to use it in the nations. And I saw him, you know, just in Africa somewhere, and he's doing this stuff. But I said, look, that's maybe a 3-4-5 year plan out. You're doing it. I see it happening, but let's pull back. What do you got to do today to get there tomorrow? And that's what we got to think that way. What do we got to do today that'll get us there tomorrow? We got to live with the end in mind. We have to have, you know, just get out 5 years. I mean, sometimes it's a little hard to do, but get out 5 years and have people get around you to help you get there. I mean, all my disciples, as you probably remember, some of you guys have this in your Bible, but I just used to draw a big football field and had the end zone there at zero. And then you have the end zone at the top. That's the end of your life. And you're just at, and it's 100-yard line. Remember, some of you guys are shaking your head. You remember those conversations at Barnes and Noble and all those different places on campus. And you got to begin with the end in mind. Where do you see yourself? Man, I see myself with, you know, I always just say, I want to see your grandkids. I know it's kind of weird in a way, but someone just spoke that over me earlier. We're doing the foot washing deal and it's powerful. And one of the fathers of our house is to say, look, not only are you going to see the kids, but you're going to see the grandkids. You're in this thing for the long haul. You're going to make it. And so many don't make it, but you're going to make it. And so that's who we are. But so I see myself with, you know, just a picture of the future that produces passion in your life. That's vision. It's a picture of the future. If you could just spend some time with the Lord, you see yourself reaching nations and imparting values to the next generation. I mean, et cetera. Just think of those things. And it produces this level of passion. And you know what vision is too? It's God's desire of the future. That's what vision is. It's God's desire of the future. In Habakkuk, it says to write it down on tablets. I have it in multiple places in my house, all over. I mean, maps remind me of the goodness of God in the land of the living, right? In every room of the house, I have a map. And we've inspired so many others to do the same. I mean, I walk in your houses, there's maps. Everybody's like, all right, let's do this. But it helps me see where we're going. And then also in different places in my car, if you've ever seen my car, it's disastrous. It's the only place in my life where I could just be, leave me alone. I'm just being messy because I don't have an office. I've traveled around, you know, and it's great. I don't want an office. And I love it. So, but there's whiteboards. I mean, there's post-it boards and there's little pieces of paper. And just constantly have it before my eyes, the 5-year, the 10-year, the 2-day, and just having it before my eyes. And so that when I'm around other people, I said, hey, don't forget what you're made for. This is what you're made for. This is what you're called to. Continue to do it because life is hard without vision. Life's hard enough with vision, but man, without it, we lose all restraints and we find ourselves going all over the place. It says in Proverbs 29:18. So, but here's the other thing about vision. Not only write it down, but also understand that there is a delaying process, but it will come to pass. It will come to pass. We will reach 200 nations as a body. It may take us 25 years, 30 years, whatever it is, but we are called to reach all 200 nations, and we're getting them one by one. It's not a mile wide, an inch deep kind of thing, but here's how we get around the mile wide, inch deep. We need you to take ownership. Yeah. If you take ownership and you continue to pass that on to the next generation, we're good. Those 200 nations are going to get reached, and Jesus is going to come back in our lifetime because that's what we're believing for, right? So all your work, your school, all that stuff is for the glory of God, right? It is for the glory of God and the expansion of the kingdom. Your work, which you don't understand, I mean, your engineering job or your school job, you can't see it. These kids are obnoxious or crazy, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, it is hard to see it. But that paycheck coming through, that paycheck's going to be used in the nations. It's going to be used for the expansion of the kingdom here in the city as a base and for the nations of the earth. Some of us are called to the base. Some of us are called to the field. Some of us are called to both. And we'll figure that out in time. But this thing is going to happen. And it's going to happen. It's going to happen. I'm telling you, when we were at the Performing Arts Center, I mean, years ago when we first started the church, I shared this with the college students. We have an incredibly talented church. I don't know if y'all know that. Some of you guys, a lot of the college guys are missing today, but where's Hunter, the tall Hunter guy? There he is. All right. That guy can rap. All right. It's awesome. But eventually that thing is going to be used for the glory of God. Some of his lyrics are, you know, like very interesting, talking about beans and or birthdays and all this stuff. But eventually this thing is going to be turned into the glory of God. So the Spirit of God's going to touch him, but you know what's going to happen is he knows as he's becoming family, he's going to gain the confidence in knowing that, hey, this thing's going to be used for the nations. And you know what? I can see you in Europe, man, just being in the midst of Europe and sharing our Tokyo and these places where lots of arts and music, but for the glory of God, talent plus the glory, a vision to actually reach people for God's glory. I could see it in you, man. It is absolutely amazing. Stay in the game. It starts now all the way to here. I'm going to just get up in the morning, spend time with Jesus, love him, go to life group, share it, go through the pains and hurts, reveal the sin to the Lord, confess our sins to one another, get healed, all those things. And all the while, God will never, ever, 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 listen, never take that gift away. He might put it on pause. It might look like it's... running away from you, so to speak. But understand, if it looks like it's running away from you, it's because God's chasing you and putting something deeper in you so that it'll come back to you in the right way and for the glory of God. That's how it works. So we never have to fear those seasons where it looks like, man, oh, wow, God gave me this grand vision, and then what happened? Because God always works on the visionary after he gives the vision. He always works on that gift that he gave you. And it always works in the context of family and longevity. All right. Let's stand to our feet before we just keep going. All right. We're going to respond. This is how we're going to respond.